welcome to a very different episode of Oh, You Didn't Know. I am your usual co-host, JCD, John DiMaselli, but tonight, Seth is away tonight, so I am kind of running the ship. I am the child without the adult supervision. Joining me tonight is Rick Craig. Rick, are you there?
I am here, brother.
Okay, man, great to have you on. We've got
Thanks, a great show
planned tonight. We've got, from Adrenaline out west in Las Vegas, we've got the beautiful and talented Tara Calloway joining us in a few moments. And as well as always, we're going to have our usual free-flowing discussion about WWE, TNA, Raw this past Monday night, Elimination Chamber picks, anything else you guys want to talk about, feel free to call in 760-888-5749. Before we begin, I want to give a real strong shout-out to Jay and Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio last night. An amazing interview with ROH superstar, the prodigy Mike Bennett. Just awesome, awesome, awesome is the only word I can use to describe it. Jay is doing amazing things on this Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Network, and I'm just glad myself can be part of it and come along for the ride. With that said, Rick, how are you this evening?
Doing well. How you doing, man?
Good. Can't complain. So, you know what, my friend? Start us off. Where are we going?
Well, let's, I guess, talk about the Elimination Chamber. Let's do it.
Okay. As we saw on Raw Monday night, Jack Swagger, Kane, and Chris Jericho joined Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, and Mark Henry already in the chamber. I have my pick set. Rick, where do you see this going Sunday?
Well, the first thing I see going is, since Daniel Bryan and Kane are now in this Elimination Chamber and they're kind of flaring up with their hot heads again, I see the breakup finally coming. And I'm going to call it right now, WrestleMania, Daniel Bryan versus Kane with Dr. Shelby as the special guest referee. You heard it here first.
You know what? I am with you on the Kane-Bryan matchup. I never thought of the Dr. Shelby twist. That's a different twist, and that would be interesting and would kind of bring this whole storyline full circle. Let me ask you this before we continue with the chamber aspect of it. Who would you see being the heel, and who would you see being the face in this feud?
I'm going to go with, and I've been thinking about this for a while, I'm going to go with Kane as the face and Daniel Bryan as the heel.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Dr. Shelby pulls the screw job out, I guess, and helps Daniel win the match.
Okay. All right. So you've got Kane pretty much the way, excuse me, still can't seem to kick that cough that I've had. So you've got it going the same way it's been going, which is, seems like Kane is the face, Daniel will be the heel. Okay. Let me ask you this. With their breakup coming, who would you see them dropping the tag titles to?
Oh, I hate saying this. I'm going to go with Brodus and Tenzai.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely have the feeling that they are definitely tag team champion material. I don't know if they're going to be the next guys, but I definitely...
Maybe not.
If this gets over enough... No. You're definitely right on the money with it. If this gimmick with them gets over enough, I could definitely see them being a team to carry the belts. Maybe not the team right off of Team Hell No, but maybe the team that beats them would then drop it to Tenzai and Clay. Okay, so being with that said, you've got Kane and Daniel Bryan exploding in the chamber. Now that leaves four guys. Where do you have the chamber going?
Oh, boy, I'm still having problems with this. You know what? I'm going to go out on a big major limb and say Mark Henry.
Okay, so you have Mark Henry winning the Elimination Chamber and facing, I guess we'll segue into this, for your pick, Alberto Del Rio or Big Show at WrestleMania? Or other?
Oh, boy. They certainly can't drop Big Show this quickly, can they? But then again, they're really pushing for the Latin American market. They're really obviously despite two failed heel runs for Alberto Del Rio. They're really pushing for this guy to be a big star. I'm going to say Del Rio retains.
Del Rio, Mark Henry.
Because I think they really want, I mean, we've all been hearing the next Rey Mysterio, but what about the next Eddie Guerrero? I mean, he could possibly, if his personality, you know, fires up a little bit, and he's already started to show some of that spunk a little bit more than he used to. I don't know, maybe there's a thought of him filling that kind of a role, I guess.
Okay, all right. All right, that's a little interesting. That's a good way to look at it. Okay. I'm going to give you my predictions. I'm with you that the Kane Daniel Bryan explosion happens. And it will segue, maybe not into this Monday's Raw, but definitely probably the following Monday. I fully expect them to drop the tag belts by that. So I'm with you 100% on that. I'm going to go a little different route on my pick. And I am going, as I stated last night, I'm going with Jack Swagger. Not because of Swagger, the first two shows or three shows since he's been back, but because of what we saw Monday night with Dutch Mantel's Zeb Coatler, whatever they're calling him.
Coulter.
This has got Coatler. This has got money written all over it. And just like you said, they want to make Alberto Del Rio the next Rey Mysterio, whether or not the next Rey Eddie Guerrero. Cater to the Latin market. WrestleMania is going to be in New Jersey, right outside New York City, where there is a very large Hispanic population. What a better way to establish Del Rio, okay, get him that big WrestleMania pop, and have a money feud heading into the world title than to have basically redneck Zeb with Swagger pretty much destroying Del Rio over his heritage. It's got money written all over it. Go watch the early JBL promos leading into the first match with Eddie in 2004, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. So that's what I have for the chamber.
Yeah,
and
it makes
like
a lot of sense. I mean, let's just take a look at how they've built up Del Rio so far. I mean, they've been out in California and San Diego, the lower Southern California area, changing the title over in that area and building him there. Why? You know, who's doing the cheering in the audience? You know, so they're definitely,
yep,
that's definitely a thought out decision, obviously, on their part, and they made their timing means everything.
Royal Rumble in Phoenix.
Right.
So that's what I'm thinking. And I was probably going to lean on the Henry bandwagon until Monday night. Dutch Mantel, it swayed my decision. And if you notice, this is something they did very, excuse me, very slick and very under the radar Monday night. They announced when Swagger beat Ryder, they announced him as Justin Roberts announced him as the winner of the match, the real American Jack Swagger. So they even kind of drifted away from that all American. So this has got, you know, this may have some legs. So be very interesting to see where we go from there.
The only thing I'm thinking about that, John, is it might be too soon. I mean, it's going to take a little while to establish Jack in the minds of the wrestling fan that he is a viable contender after they buried him for 2 years. So that's my only reason I'm thinking it's going to be delayed on Swagger getting that big giant push yet. Maybe it'd be closer to SummerSlam before Swagger makes a big wave, but I don't know. I'm just worried it might be too soon and people aren't going to take it seriously.
Well, look at how they've booked him so far. He
so far, so good, yes.
Take his lisp out of it. His return promo was very good. He beat Kofi that night. He beat Santino. And you know what? They did a smart thing. They played up the history of Santino beating him for the for the United States title. And then Swagger had a hard time beating him. And Swagger crushed him. He beat somebody else on the following SmackDown. And then won his match, you know, against Ryder now, and he's been nothing but impressive ever since. And now you add a mouthpiece to him, and you, remember, we've still got 6 weeks leading into WrestleMania after Elimination Chamber. If you really want to set this up, he's got to beat Sin Cara, and he's got to beat Mysterio.
True.
To play into this. And that right there, Rick, will be your way to establish him as a legit heel that a good majority of that arena in New Jersey will hate and want to see lose.
But what have they already done? They had Mark Henry beat the crap out of them.
If
they were
going to
do that, they
should
have had Swagger do it instead of Henry coming out and do it. Because they, according to them, you know, according to storylines, Mysterio's hurt. He's not going to be able to come back for next week's Raw. Blah, blah, blah. Why wouldn't they have had Swagger already start that instead of Henry doing it?
You could do that as a build match maybe 2 weeks out of WrestleMania. Swagger Mysterio. Which would then be ironic to have Del Rio save Mysterio with all their history. You can do that in about a month. I get what you're saying, but Henry destroying Mysterio and Cara, and then Swagger beating, let's say, Sin Cara next week, and then beating Rey like 3 weeks from now, it would serve two different purposes, at least in my mind.
No, we'll have to definitely see what's going on. I'll tell you what, right now I'm not going to count out Chris Jericho winning it either.
Yes. Yeah, Jericho, there's some possibilities here. And you know what the best part is, Rick? For the first time in a long time, nothing is overbearingly obvious.
Right.
So, you know, that's a good thing
to look forward to.
Except
The Rock's going to lose the belt to Cena. That's the only thing that's obvious.
Yeah, Superman walks out of WrestleMania with the belt.
Right.
Unless, of course... Not to plug my own article, but I wrote an article with help of a buddy of mine of how somebody other than John Cena or The Rock walks out of WrestleMania with the WWE title on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. So it's a good read. Check it out. And it's a hell of an idea.
That.
Yep.
Okay.
We've got about 2 minutes or so before we're expecting Tara Calloway to call in. Do you want to touch on the WWE title match now, or do you want to go to the six-man?
Oh, whichever you like, sir. I'm in your playground tonight, John. You bring it to me, man.
let's do the six man, because I think
okay.
The WWE title match is going to warrant a little more time.
Probably.
Cena, Sheamus, Ryback against the Shield, regular six man tag. What are you seeing?
Well, my brain tells me if they were smart, they'd have the Shield go over. But my knowledge of WWE and how they operate will have the superheroes win. And that's what I'm going to have to go with, unfortunately.
I actually disagree with you. I think the Shield
is going
to find a way
really
to go
do.
Over. I think if this was elimination style, I think you'd be right on the money. That's Team Super Cena and Rybor and Lamus would win. But I think the fact that this is a pure six-man... And the fact that now Sheamus is out of the world title picture, I think there's a chance, maybe through some sort of mishap, maybe with Ryback and Sheamus, but I think the Shield is winning on Sunday. And with that said, we are going to welcome our guest, Tara Calloway. Tara, it's John and Rick. Are you there?
I am here. Hello.
Good. How are you going? How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. I actually just took a moment out of training to come and talk to you guys. So I'm all warmed up and hyper.
Very nice, very nice. So you're with Adrenaline out west, out in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been with them?
Since October. So I've only been there a few months, but I've been definitely trying to make my name there.
Okay, okay. And you do a lot of traveling. I noticed on your tour schedule, you do come out east. You'll be in New Jersey, so... Where besides those two markets, where else have you started to make a name for yourself and get yourself out there too?
Well, I've been so far everywhere here in California. I've been, you know, SoCal, CedraCal, NorCal. I've done everything in Vegas. I've even, you know, at the very beginning of my career, I went up to Utah. I've been to Arizona. So I'm just now starting to really branch out to the east, going to Pennsylvania and New Jersey. So it's been a lot of fun. I'm excited, and I'm hoping to make more my name, you know, in more places.
Very, very cool, very cool. Rick, do you have anything for Tara?
Well, first I want to say hello to the Sin City Siren. How are you tonight?
I am lovely. Thank you.
Tara, you've gone up against some big names in the business. I mean, Buggy Nova, Allison Danger, Winter, I mean, former TNA Knockout champion. What have you learned, I guess, just from your times being in the ring with these obvious veterans or even just in sharing a locker room with these ladies? What have you learned from them, whether it be in-ring or just from the business in general?
Well, I definitely, out of all of them, Allison and Winter, I really learned the most from. And from Winter, I really learned to set my pace, that, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, boom, 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 that, you know, you can take your time and have a really great match, as, you know, if you stay calm and stay slow. So I really learned a lot from her. And then just even being in the ring with Allison, that was an absolute, you know, dream. And she was very insightful, very helpful. So, I mean, the things that I've learned, some of it was subconscious and some of it was, you know, outward, like, you know, going slower and that making everything count. So it's great. And I even get to wrestle Amber O'Neill, who's another huge, you know, veteran, and I'm sure I'm going to learn a lot from her too.
Excellent. Do you have a
very
particular,
cool,
I guess, inspiration, Tara, that you've had for, I mean, was there a female inspiration for you in getting into this business or somebody who's currently in the business that you really look up to and want to model or pattern yourself after a little bit?
My big inspiration and the person that I really want to kind of set myself after is, ironically, Tara or Victoria. everyone, when I first started training, everyone called me Mini Victoria because, you know, at the time she wasn't in TNA, but they just thought I look like her. They thought that the way, because I'm a bigger girl and the way that I move, there's like, you know, you're Victoria. So, and I really do idolize her. I think she's amazing. And I mean, but a lot of my idols in wrestling aren't female. She's actually the only really big female idol. Other than that, like William Regal is another one. So, I mean, I out of women, it's got to be Tara.
Couldn't pick a better one. She's awesome.
Awesome. Now, Tara, I noticed checking out your Facebook page, you actually wrestle guys too.
Yeah, I love wrestling men. Actually, I was brought up in my training. I was the only female. I hadn't seen a female wrestler until December 2010, and then after that, not again until March of 2011. So.
Huh. Yeah, because there's one picture. It looks like you were taking a nasty, nasty kick, and that's impressive, especially just starting out.
Yeah, I mean, wrestling men is such a different feel than wrestling women, so it's always amazing for me. And most of my top matches are matches with men. Like I love wrestling men because you get to do so many different things.
Very cool, very cool. So I'm going to ask you, because we had her on 2 weeks ago, what is the deal with you and fellow Oh You Didn't Know guest, Allie Parker?
Well, Allie, you know, she, my best friend was an adrenaline before I was, and she wanted to start picking fights with my best friend. And, I mean, I have to go out there to protect my guy. That's just how it is. So I've been out there showing her, you know, exactly who Tara Calloway is.
Very cool, very cool. We put up your match that you guys had this past Saturday. We have that up on the site for everyone to check out. So, you know, which you picked up the win via count out.
Yes.
You know, a win is a win. Exactly. So let me ask, I mean, I know you've only been going for a little while. Any immediate goals on your plate?
It was funny. People ask me that, and then I tell them, and they think I'm crazy. My biggest goal for this year, like the biggest thing that I have to do, is I have to have a cage match this year. If I don't have a cage match this year, I'm going to be very disappointed in myself.
Nice. Okay. Nice. Nice. A lot of people would be like, oh, I want to get better. I just want to learn what I can learn. Cage match, hardcore blood.
Rock on.
Well, okay, I don't want to be too hardcore. I'm not here to be a blood donor. But, you know, I do, like, I mean, I'm at training now. Like, I always train. I always get better just from doing that. And so, I mean, as far as goals, obviously I want to get better. I'm going to keep training until the day that I can't get in the ring. But, you know, for matches and everything like that, I definitely want to rock a cage match.
That would be interesting to see. That would definitely be interesting to see. You know, have you any okay, getting past the cage match.
I can't get past the cage match. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. You definitely got to let us know if that works out, cuz that's definitely something that we'll check out. Any specific promotion, you know, catching your eye with the way they work there, you know, with their women's division, whether it be TNA or, you know, Shimmer, Shine, you know, WWE, ROH, anyone that, you know, immediately jumps out as, you know what, that's where I want to be, or are you keeping it more of like a broad stroke of, hey, wherever this goes, it goes?
Well, as far as like my entire career, like if I never make it to TV, I'll be okay as long as I keep traveling, but I definitely have my eye on Shine. Shine looks just like an absolutely amazing promotion to be in. I definitely want to head down there. I'm also really, and I know they don't have much of a women's division, but they've had women, is I'm a huge fan of Chikara. I would absolutely love to work for them. I've worked for WSU in the past. I would love to go back there. So, I mean, there's a lot of places that I've been, but a lot of places that I definitely want to go, and Shine and Chikara are definitely my two big ones.
John, you've kind of segued into my next question, if you don't mind. Tara, if you could, kind of talking about women's wrestling in general. John kind of alluded to the WWE Divas division, the TNA Knockouts. What are your thoughts on both of those divisions, and do you feel they're a good representation of women's wrestling today?
When it comes to WWE, I don't, especially because a lot of their good women are leaving. I'm not a fan of the two-minute match. I'm not a fan of the insane, like the super insane storyline that turns it into like more of not wrestling in the ring, and it's just more of yelling. And they just have it wrong. I'm not a fan of it. But honestly, when it comes to WWE women, NXT, their NXT women are rocking it. Like they're really doing well down there. Especially, you know, they have Sarah Del Rey down there training, and it's just I don't know why their NXT girls aren't up on the main roster and aren't up showing that they can do these things. And as far as TNA, that is if I had to go somewhere, if I had the opportunity to go somewhere, it would be TNA, because they have an amazing women's division. Granted, they're off and on with their, you know, giving them time, and they're off and on with the quality of like what they're doing with the girls, but they do have an amazing women's division, and they do, when they want to, they do know how to push them. So I TNA is doing it a lot better than WWE.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, and it's funny that you mentioned NXT, but when you look at the girls down there, like Paige, like Summer Rae, we had Ivelisse Feliz on here a few weeks ago, and it's criminal that she's not there anymore. You know, these are the girls that would blow, you know, 75% or 80% of the current Divas division out of the water. And when you lose Beth Phoenix, Karma, you know, legit, you know, workers like that, and you're wasting a Natty Neidhart, it becomes frustrating, you know. And even, you know, Tamina Snuka, you know, she's going to job to Caitlin, and it's criminal, you know. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah, I have a special thing for NXT now, because they picked up one of my girls. They picked up, she's wrestling there as Kamala now, but Davina Rose, who is by far probably the nicest, most genuine person you will ever meet in your life, you know. So NXT got a little bit of my heart over there, but yeah, they really need to put those girls. They need to put those girls up there, because they're amazing, and I don't know why they're giving them, you know, great times on NXT shows. But then they're not giving them anything at all. And then they're giving, you know, these little crappy matches. Like you said, Caitlin and Snuka, who both could probably put on a great match, they're never going to give them that. They're always going to make them, okay, you're losing, like, in 2 minutes. They're never going to let them tell that story.
It's like always a side attraction, you know, for WWE.
Yeah.
At least TNA gives, you know, how many times have we seen TNA actually give the women's a main event? I mean, it has happened on several occasions. And at least they give decent storylines, and the matches are quality, and they go, obviously, more than the two-minute bathroom break match. Do you feel, Tara, that does women's wrestling have a chance? I mean, it's a completely different creature on the independent circuit women's wrestling. I mean, watching matches of you and Winter going at it is completely different from what we catch on television. Does women's wrestling have a chance? Are they better off competing in their own promotions away from the guys? Or do you think that they have to have the guys to get more exposure?
I think the full women's companies like Shimmer and WSC and all that, I think they're juggernauts. Like, I don't think anything's going to take them down. I think the only thing that could take them down is themselves. So, they have such huge fan bases. Shimmer is, extremely popular. WSC is extremely popular in the East. I mean, all these companies, I think they'll be fine. And then as far as, they show what women's wrestling is. And the companies that have women's divisions, if these bigger juggernaut companies show them, look, this is what our women can do, and then these companies that have men go, you know what, let's give those girls a chance to shine. I can't speak for WWE, but I think women's wrestling on the indie scene will be perfectly fine as long as these juggernaut companies stay around and really show all these companies with men what they can do.
Can they ever break it on a national or global level? I mean, let's throw GLOW and companies like this out of there because they were, they weren't serious wrestling, obviously. But can women's wrestling survive as a global or national entity? And if so, what's it going to take to keep it from just being a bathroom break right now?
I think, I can't say that one specific company is going to make it, but I think if these bigger companies show, I think TNA will finally really start to kind of push it up. And, WWE, I don't know what it's going to take. Like, I don't know if it's going to take, McMahon and Triple H to disappear in a car accident and then Stephanie take over. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to take a woman taking over or what. But, TNA, I can see them. I really can see them even starting something, just for the knockouts or, picking up something like Shimmer or WWE, like picking up a company and really – pushing and televising the girls. WWE, like I said, I think it has to take a car accident with those two for them to realize they need to put some women in there.
I'll give you a less tragic way that I think WWE picks it up. Triple H and McMahon in a car accident. Bret Hart probably just fell in love with you right now. I think, and this is just my opinion, I think between Sarah Del Rey and Fit Finley being back, I think what WWE is going to need is, and they're going to need, whether it be a Paige or any one of these girls at NXT that is working with those two to really get up to the main roster and break out. And I think that's when that might be the best chance to see a mentality change with them as far as the women go. Because if you can get, I catch NXT on YouTube. I don't get it where I am in New York. But, if you can start to get a character like Paige over, and the fact that she can go in the ring and you can get her in the ring with someone that can work with her, which I think right now would probably only be Natty Neidhart or Tamina, that's what you need. But if you're going to have her come up to the main roster and job to Caitlin or job to AJ or lose in 60 seconds to Layla, I think you're wasting Sarah Del Rey and Fit Finley for their minds and their ability to train talent, to be honest with you.
No, I completely agree. I honestly, I feel bad too, because at the same time you have these women like Paige who can really go and who can really do it, and then they're going to put her up to main roster and they're going to tell her, you can't make Caitlin look bad. You can't make Layla look bad. You have to limit yourself. And it's going to be harder for her to be a breakout star, because if she breaks out, she may get in trouble. If she gets more over than she's supposed to, she may get fired.
Right.
So
she'll end up making out with Hornswoggle on SmackDown.
Exactly.
Kali's
manager.
Yeah, her and Natty will have a feud over who gets to sleep with Kali.
It's criminal what they've done. I mean, if we take a look just at the recent history of the Divas division, good grief, Beth Phoenix is gone, now Eve's gone. They let Gail Kim just get away without even giving her a chance. Karma / Awesome Kong, Tia Stevens, she was making waves. And then, obviously, the pregnancy issue, but then, they dropped the ball again and she's gone. It's going to take a new face to come in there. and stir things up again.
It really is.
The savior to that division, and it's a shame it didn't happen, and as someone who, you know, kind of can understand what Karma went through, it would have been Beth Phoenix Karma. That would have been
right.
The savior for that
division.
That's
when they had those the Sisters of Destruction together with her and
yeah,
Maddie and Karma coming back.
I have no competition. That's exactly where that was meant to go, and unfortunately, it never went there. And
yeah.
You know, there's a couple
of
different stories.
Of course, after she decimated the Bella Twins first.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, that was another thing they never got to.
No,
that
they didn't
whole
get
revenge,
to it.
That whole revenge thing with, you know, if I hope I'm back in a year because I'm gonna kill you too. You know, so it's just they really, you know, dropped the ball with it. But, you know, let's see what happens. I mean, I'm actually shocked that, you know, that they didn't bring Sarah Del Rey into as a diva, that they only look at her as a trainer, you know. Sarah's another one who could have lit that division up, even on a short-term basis.
But they want the glamour look, though, John.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's nothing physically wrong with Sarah.
No, but she's not the model, and that's what they hire.
And look at what that got you.
Exactly.
You know, Tara, where can we see you next? You know, I told you when we started, you know, talking about this that we, you know, we want to promote you, put you out there. Where is Tara Calloway going to be next? Where can we look for you? And also, put out there that you're going to be.
Oh, Tara's going to be everywhere. I'm going to be at a steel cage. I'm going to be at Empire Wrestling Federation, which is the longest running company out here, and it's run by Jesse Hernandez from WWF. So I'll be there on March 2nd. I will be at Vendetta Pro. I think I got these two confused, but I'll be at Vendetta Pro. In Santa Maria, wrestling Amber O'Neill with Shelly Martinez as the referee. I could be wrong. It might have been switched. But, yeah.
Okay.
That would be...
You'll be in the ring with
Facebook.
The two of them.
Yes. And
whatever combination, that's to be determined.
Yeah, I'll be wrestling. You know what? I'm going to show up with my boots and just get in the ring, and whoever shows up in front of me, let's do it.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah, but I mean, all my bookings and all everything like that—they're all over my social media pages.
Put that out there. Where can our listeners follow you?
You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/itsacalloway. You can find me on Twitter at Tara Calloway, and you can find me on YouTube, Tara Calloway. Very easy to find.
Very, very cool.
Highly recommend to the listeners out there, look up her YouTube matches. This girl is phenomenal in the ring. I see great things for her.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Definitely.
I really appreciate it.
And we got to feed you out east more. The East Coast doesn't end in New Jersey. There's New York and, you know, a lot more East Coast we got to get you into.
But John, keep in mind, Indiana's on the way there. She's got to stop here first.
Just let them know.
The Midwest is on the way, so stop here first.
Yep, you know, we've got a couple of great little independents here, you know, especially where I am. We got FWE, they got Ivelisse out there, they've got, you know, Angelina Love, Maria Kalinas. So they've got a lot. That might be a company to, you know, check out.
Definitely.
They do a lot with the women. Tara, I want to thank you very much for coming on. Is there anything before we let you go, let you get back to training, that you want to say to our listeners, your fans, your new fan base? Because we are going to promote the hell out of you now, just
yes,
like
we
do with all our guests. So fire away. The floor is yours.
I just want to say that I love each and every one of my fans. I do my best to respond to everybody. And if you are following me or if you're a fan of me, please check out Dropkick Depression. You can find it on Facebook and Twitter. That is my new project that I have started up. So I really want to get some big fan base and big support for that.
Well, you know what? Take a few moments. Tell everyone who's listening what Dropkick Depression is.
All right. Right before Christmas, I kind of went on, like, I'm notorious for going on such a rant, and I will, like, blow up on Twitter. But right before Christmas, I went on a very long feel about the fact that I am currently suffering from very self-destructive depression, and that I needed to get it out because it was killing me, keeping it in. Once I did that, my fans, my friends, my family, everybody reached out to me and told me, you know what, it's okay. I felt like they were going to be like, oh, you're a freak. But everybody came back and said, no, you know, it's okay, we're here for you. And that feeling of getting it out and that feeling of that support was by far the greatest thing I've ever felt. So I decided I wanted to make that happen for everybody. So I made there's a page you can go to, or you can go to my Facebook, or you can go to, you know, the Twitter, but you can either anonymously or non-anonymously just, like, you know, send a message. You're like, hey, here's what I'm going through. I need some help. And no judgment, no backtalk, nothing. I always respond. I will always, you know, 24 hours a day, if I see something pop up for Dropkick Depression, I respond immediately. You know, I really want to help people feel better, and I'm working on getting it, you know, I'm working on getting it bigger. I'm working on getting, you know, some webinars or some seminars going on. I have a lot of people that really want to help and a lot of big names that want to help. So I'm slowly pushing through, but it's going to take support and love from everybody, and like my fans and from everybody else to really get this going.
Definitely, and we are 100% on board with that movement. If you can, just shoot me over the links for that, and we'll get them up on the main page as well as the my Twitter, and you know, we'll really help you get it out there. It's definitely a great cause, and you know, it's definitely worthwhile, and you know, definitely check it out.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
No problem. And again, Tara, I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Hey, we'd love to have you back again, you know, and keep us informed not only of where you are, anything you're doing, you know, Dropkick Depression, but let us know where we are with the cage match.
Yeah,
it's got to be the cage match.
I'll let you know, and whenever you guys want to have me back, I'll be on anytime.
We'll definitely have you back real soon. Tara Calaway, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good night.
You too.
All right. That was Tara Calaway, adrenaline star out west. Rick, any thoughts?
It's like I said, I mean, this girl can bring it. If you've seen any of her matches, I was just right before coming on tonight, just watching again her match with Winter. She's a phenomenal talent, and then if somebody gives her a chance, she's got a chance, a really good chance of going far in this industry. So I wish her nothing but the best. I really do.
Yeah, and she's got some talent. I haven't seen her win the match, but I watched her match because they're now both been on the show with Allie Parker, and
right.
She's phenomenal. She's got a boatload of talent. She's got a great look. She's got a presence, you know. So she definitely should be on people's radars very soon. We're going to take a quick little break, and we'll be right back. We're going to regroup.
Uh-oh, it's the Big O, and you're listening to Oh You Didn't Know Radio on the PWP Network. Stay tuned. We got a great episode ahead, and if you can't handle that heat, get the hell out of my ozone.
Okay, Rick, you still there?
I am still here.
Just wanted to get that out there. The Big O, another guest on this show, who Seth had the pleasure of interviewing a few weeks back, just wrestled recently this week in a pro wrestling syndicate, teaming up with Saved by the Bell's Mr. Belding, and they were victorious in their match. So big shout-out to the Big O. And we're moving on. So we got about, I don't know about you, Rick, but how do you feel about going a little past 10 o'clock tonight?
Do what you need to do, John. I'm raring to go, buddy.
Awesome. Okay, so before we were joined by Tara, we were discussing the six-man for Elimination Chamber, Team Superheroes against the Shield, and we are on opposite sides. You predict the Superheroes will win. I think the Shield...
I predict it, but I don't want it.
That's fine.
I'm just going by WWE's mentality. I think it would be in the best interest to have the Shield go over, or else... they're going to just disappear.
Yeah,
they need
to have the Shield
win this.
With the elimination factor taken out of it, I think the Shield do have a chance. They can steal maybe a cheesy little win. Even if they take a beating after the match, the fact will still remain that the Shield would have won the sixth man, which is fine. I mean, you can get a little roll-up pin on Sheamus or even Ryback. You can leave Superboy, you know, alone and not involved in the decision. So,
well, heck, the Hero could win by a count-out or disqualification. I mean, it may not even be clean or even a pinfall. So, who knows?
That's true. That's true. You know, the Shield brings in some chairs, maybe gets disqualified. One person who two people that I think you need to keep an eye on in this match. One of them is Brad Maddox.
Agreed.
I don't think that beatdown was to set up a face turn.
No.
And the other one, Randy Orton. He has been a target of the Shield. He has not done anything as far as retaliation. And with the never-ending rumors of an Orton face turn, now would be the time to do it.
Heel turn, you mean?
Yes, I'm sorry. I said face turn, didn't I? Yep.
It could be interesting. I mean, they've been saying it for a while. Randy's wants to be a heel badly. It would be an interesting turn.
Especially, you know, you can have him RKO Sheamus, setting up the Shield win, which would then set up Sheamus Orton at WrestleMania.
That's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. All right.
I'm not even ruling out a Paul Heyman appearance somehow either, but that's a little bit more of a long shot.
Yeah, I think Heyman's going to be saved for later on. And, of course, we've got the big one, the title match of all title matches, Caitlin against Tamina. Nah. Rock Punk 2 with the very interesting stipulation, if Rocky excuse me, is disqualified or counted out, he loses the title. Rick, book it for me.
Well, it's going to be Rock retaining because they've got to set up the Rock versus Cena for WrestleMania. I mean, it's happening. There's no doubt. I don't know what they're going to do, how it's going to play out. I don't know if we're going to see Brock Lesnar get involved. I'm not sure how it's going to play out, but the main event for WrestleMania is already done.
So you're sticking Rock Cena 2 one-on-one for the title individual match?
Yes.
Okay. I tend to think this stipulation was put in for a reason. And I think CM Punk is going to, via disqualification, beat The Rock for the title someday. And I think we're going to get the three-way at WrestleMania. I could see Paul Heyman or The Shield running in. If it's Heyman, it would just be a little slap to the face and Punk and Rock will get DQ'd. But I could see The Shield running in or The Shield running in. Everyone thinks they're going to attack Rock, and they attack Punk, and Rock is disqualified. I don't know what else they could really do with Punk at this point for Mania, despite what rumors are out there. And I think the only way a triple threat works would be if CM Punk walks into WrestleMania as the champion. There is very few ways you can justify it other than that.
I see your line of thinking. I'm going to respectfully disagree with it just because I honestly think they want Rock versus Cena again, and they want Cena to go clean over the movie star.
I
honestly think that's what they want. They're going to get the Superman back up again. The movie star is going to go back into Hollywood again, and then we're going to be left with Cena holding the belt again as the face of the company. I like your scenario. I don't know.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'll be absolutely, completely, 100% wrong. But I just, you know.
I mean, I like that idea of the Shield attacking Punk and getting Rock disqualified. That's a brilliant thought. But I don't know. I just don't see them doing it. I don't see them veering away from that. And with all the Undertaker versus Punk rumors out there, I don't know. Maybe there's some legs to it.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next. I mean, we've had for months, you know, and it's dirt sheets, and we all learned around the time of the Raw 20th anniversary and the Rumble how wrong they could be, but it seems like what they've said, it looks like the Mania main events were going to be, is where the company is headed right now. The only one wild card in this is Taker. With his health, you know, everyone kind of jumped aboard that he should have been, that he was going to be at Raw Monday night, just because there was a picture of him at the Nashville Predators game. There is no way if Taker was going to be on Raw Monday night, that picture would have gotten out. That's the one thing WWE does very well. When they need to hide somebody, they hide you. Chris Jericho,
right,
at the Rumble, Ric Flair at the Slammies. You're not getting caught with a picture with a mascot. Taker is the key to this. And, I mean, obviously if Punk wins the title Sunday, it's probably obvious where we're going at WrestleMania, but if he doesn't, if Taker's not back by the February 25th Raw, I think Punk's getting involved in that main event. I really do.
That's a good thought. I mean, where is Taker going to go if it's not Punk? Who's it going to be? I mean, is Brock Lesnar going to get in with the against Taker somehow?
Well, I think it's Punk or bust for Taker. I think this is more about what Punk does if Taker can't go.
But Taker has gone on record as saying he wants Punk to end the streak. So if that happens, you know, it'll be done for The Undertaker. That's going to be it. Legitimately what he said.
Yeah, I didn't hear the streak talk. I did hear that Taker went back in December and pitched an idea for a storyline with Punk to work at WrestleMania. But I just feel this disqualification clause, and unless it's being used as more of a catalyst for the Triple H Brock Lesnar match, because when Heyman said, "Oh, I'll do anything," and McMahon said anything and hung up on him, I just hope they're not trying to tie all this in to make Triple H Lesnar more important. I hope they have an actual train of thought of where they're going with this.
Well, Triple H is involved, so, you know, he tends to put himself up there sometimes. I love Triple H. I love watching him, but, you know, he can be away for 10 years, and all of a sudden he's the biggest star on the show, too, so.
Yeah, he did main event SummerSlam, but he did put Lesnar over at SummerSlam. I definitely don't expect him to put Lesnar over twice.
Agreed.
Speaking of, I guess I wanted to get into this, and we'll, since we're talking about Triple H, with the Hall of Fame, no name announced this week, which is fine. I think with the first four you got announced, anyone else after Bruno is going to be a letdown.
Absolutely.
But, now, I mean, we're going to get another name or two, which is fine. I know there's been rumors, DX, The Click, maybe Kevin Nash. You know, it'll probably be somebody that no one's saw coming, which is fine. But looking at the four we have already announced, who do you see doing the inductions for the four inductees that we have on the board right now?
Wow. All right, who's first?
Start any way you want. You got Bruno, Trish, Backlund, and Foley.
I just read an interview with Bruno in regards to who would induct him. He would like Larry Zbyszko, possibly. I don't know how good of terms he is with WWE right now, though. He also said he would like one of his best friends, Dominic DiNucci, to induct him. I'm going to go with none of the above. I think Triple H is going to induct him.
I agree with you 100% on that. Supposedly, they've told Bruno that they've got somebody worldly renowned in mind, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Hunter, because you need to, as great as it is for guys like us, and I'm 36, and I remember Bruno in the late 80s when he was teaming with his son, or occasionally teaming with, like, Tito Santana, or doing,
the
like,
shell
a one-off
of his former self by then.
Yeah, I mean, you know, more of like the commentator. You know, my biggest memory of Bruno is him going after Savage after Savage injured Steamboat and calling Savage, you piece of slime. Like, that's my memory of Bruno. So I don't, but that's me at 36. What is
But I'm 47, John. I'm 47, so I do remember.
Okay, but what does a 26-year-old know of Bruno, except maybe the name?
Right.
What does a 20-year-old know of Bruno? I know the Larry Zbyszko feud only because Zbyszko, when his later years in WCW, made more mention of it. So I knew that feud. Obviously the Billy Graham stuff, but are any of those guys, I mean, gonna really connect with a younger crowd? So I think
you just brought up
Triple H.
Yeah, you brought up the point. I mean, yeah, he can bring Dominic DiNucci. Nobody's gonna know who he is. He can bring Larry Zbyszko. Yes, the old farts like me and a lot of other people who's been around watching for quite a while will. But you know, who's gonna resonate? Who's gonna you know, really click with the younger crowd right now? If they see Triple H doing it, they know, oh my gosh, it's Triple H inducting. It's a big deal.
Right. Right. Okay. So we're both on the Triple H bandwagon for Bruno.
Right.
Trish.
I'm gonna say Lita.
Yeah, I would go Lita as well. I don't want to see any of the current divas doing it.
No.
As like an homage thing. No way. You know, maybe if Beth was still around, you know, her, but none of them. Mick Foley.
This is a no-brainer. Terry Funk.
Yes, and it's being reported that Funk has been pulled from his PWS Pro Wrestling Syndicate appearances that weekend by WWE. So it looks like Funk is the guy. Bob Backlund.
And rightfully so.
Yes. Yes. Bob Backlund.
This is the one that's really throwing me, I guess, for the biggest loop. I would say somebody like Superstar Graham, but his health is so poor right now, that's an impossibility, I think, right now.
And Graham's current comments about the company probably aren't helping him either.
That's not helping either. Oh, boy, Bob Backlund. Without digging into the past again, I don't know. What do you think, John? Because I'm really struggling with this one.
Bret Hart.
They had the feud, and he won the title from Hart.
And that made Backlund as a heel.
Right.
That's all three of those matches. The Superstars match, the Survivor Series match, and even the WrestleMania match, WrestleMania 11, were phenomenal.
And I'm going to have
to
give you props because I think you're right. Again, another high-profile name that the younger generation obviously knows very well, sees quite often on television still, you know, promoting WWE. What better person than Bret Hart to bring it home? That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it would have to be Bret Hart. Who would you add to this class to round it up? Let's say two more inductees.
Well, you're ready to shoot me in the head for this one? Pete Rose.
Already in.
Oh, he is in, isn't he?
WrestleMania 20.
Oh, shoot, I forgot about that. He is already in. Oh, boy. So is it always six in the class?
I was just throwing it up as a round number. You could throw in whoever you want, you know, within reason and within, you know.
I know who I would like to see inducted, but I don't think is going to happen. I mean, Savage needs to go in, but with San Martino going in there, I don't think they're going to waste Savage in the same year as Bruno. As much as I hate to say this, the Ultimate Warrior needs to go in, but the animosity with him and WWE is so bad right now, that's not a possibility either.
That's probably the only one that, with Hunter being the guy to kind of rebuild some of these bridges,
I think that's possible.
Of the fact that Warrior ruined Triple H's first WrestleMania, I don't think it's ever going to happen.
You know, as much as I don't think very highly of the Warrior, what he did for the company, and, you know, Hulk was getting on the decline a little bit, and he was bringing people in, and the interest was coming back to the company again. I mean, he deserves it. I mean, he put butts in seats, and that's what matters in this business. Maybe the man deserves to have his place there. Whether it happens or not is, again, I mean, how long is Randy Savage going to have to stay out of it just because of backstage politics? So, and that's the most unfortunate thing about all of this is backstage politics.
Wait, were you on the Randy Savage Owen Hart show that we did?
No. No.
Okay,
we're
going to have a conversation in a minute.
Oh, boy.
No, yeah. So you would go Savage Warrior?
I mean, there's several other possibilities they could do. I mean, Earthquake, I mean, posthumously, I mean, he would be good.
John Tenta, nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
John Tenta, I mean, good grief, one of the greatest
big men of all time.
And Jimmy Hart, I mean.
Jimmy Hart's in, but Jimmy Hart could do the
Jimmy
induction.
Right, exactly. I mean, but John Tenta was one of the greatest big men to ever perform, and he just is so overlooked and just forgotten. I mean, he would be an outstanding addition, just like Yokozuna was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, very nice. We've got 3 minutes to go in the live show. If you want to get in, it's area code 760-888-5749. Just want to put that out there one more time before we head into overtime on the podcast. So, yeah, John Tenta, that's a great name. That's a really good name.
Bam Bam Bigelow would be another name that they could put in. I know Owen Hart deserves it, but that's not happening anytime soon either.
Oh, yeah, we're about to have a great conversation in about 2 minutes with Owen and Savage. All right, so, man, John Tenta, I got to admit, Rick, I really like that, John Tenta.
Thank you.
I really like that. Okay, so we'll go with Tenta. I would go, sticking with the theme, I don't want to do DX. I know that's been rumored. I definitely don't want the click. But
they don't
think,
need somebody that big at this point, John. I mean, they've
right.
got Bruno, and they got Bob Backlund. That's two huge world champions. And Foley and Trish are the greatest women's champion besides Fabulous Moolah and the WWFE. You know, they've got a great class now. I think from this point forward, they're going to take a couple notches down. They got to save big names for next year and the following year. So I don't think they're going to do DX anytime
names.
Soon.
I'll give you two names.
All right.
Kevin Nash. Nash won his first world title at the Garden.
Right.
And if they can get him to, you know, kind of come to terms, sticking with the Garden theme, we'll do it with the celebrity induction. I think it's close enough of a guy that Bruno. Because I think they want to try to keep it pure this year also, too, not to kind of, you know, set Bruno off. Mr. T. For being in the first WrestleMania.
Well, T was already in.
Nope. He turned it down.
Okay.
He turned it down. So this is going to more or less end the live portion of the show. We'll go into a little overtime. Download the show on blogtalkradio.com. And on iTunes, give us a rate, and just keep listening. Thank you again to Tara Calloway for joining us tonight. And here we go, a little overtime.
Got about 10 minutes, John.
Okay, sounds good. Real quick on the Randy Savage situation. The problem is with Savage, and this is documented, there's videos, interviews.
Well, you and I had this discussion.
Okay,
at the
Grey
Wolf interview with Savage and Owen Hart, remember?
Yes, okay.
You and I talked about Lanny Poffo.
Okay. All right, so you were on when we did this.
Yes,
okay.
But it was the Grey Wolf interview that we did this for.
Okay, yes, all right. I wasn't sure what week we did it. Okay. All right, so that's – all right, so you know where this all – all right, cool.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Very cool. All right, I wasn't sure because I know we've done it, but I just wasn't sure who was with us. So, all right, cool.
Yeah, because we discussed Martha Hart and we discussed – Lanny Poffo and what it would take to get him in the hall, and you know, reading what Lanny said was Randy's wishes and all that stuff, and we went over that.
Okay. Very cool.
In pretty good detail,
awesome.
Actually.
Yes. Okay. All right. All right. I wasn't, like I said, Rick, I wasn't sure if you were with us for that, but I know we went over it. Okay. All right. I mean, anything else you want to touch onto before?
What do we want to talk about TNA? We haven't discussed that at all. It's all done pretty much WWE tonight. So got a couple things you want to talk about with TNA, and we'll chat about that for a few minutes.
I do, but the problem is they haven't aired yet.
Oh. Well, I'm not a spoiler guy, so I don't want to know
either.
Neither
am I. I'm just this conversation would be great next week.
Okay.
But let me get you on this.
Okay.
Without touching anything that hasn't aired yet.
Okay. Because I don't know, so I wouldn't know anyway.
No, that's fine. We're not going to go there. But I said, you definitely need to be on next week. We need to do we can do a lot of TNA next Wednesday.
If you want to have me regularly, I will start showing up every Wednesday for you.
That's fine. I'm sure Seth won't have a problem with it. I've got no problem with it. I've had a blast tonight. The hour has flown.
Cool.
So definitely.
Awesome.
The tag team titles.
Yes.
We had new champions crowned this past week in Rude and Aries.
Correct.
You also had, here's what I'm wondering where maybe TNA dropped the ball with this, and give me an idea what you think with it. You had Hernandez and Chavo. You now have two potential aces in eight teams in Knox and Doc and Briscoe and Bischoff. Would it, to you, in your opinion, have made more sense to really build aces and eights in a position of power, considering they never win matches, to put the tag belts on some combination of those four guys instead of Rude and Aries right now?
Well, when has TNA ever done anything that makes sense, you know? I love TNA. I watch them every week. I prefer them over the WWE, but sometimes their storylines or their thought process leaves my scratching my bald head at the end of the evening. Austin and Aries is a great choice as tag team champions. I mean, you got two former champions, two men who can go in the ring. I mean, let's be honest, Chavo's arrival hasn't got the pop that I think they were anticipating. Even though Hernandez is a good talent as well, they just haven't resonated with the fan base. And even as heels, Austin Aries and Bobby Roode are still very over. And people like to see them, and people like to yell at them and jeer them. So I think it was a good decision. But you make sense. Aces and Eights needs to do something and win some matches or have some kind of prominence, or else they're going to fade into oblivion rather quickly.
Yeah, I mean, the angle's gone on about 8-9 months now. It started at June, the first set of TV after Slammiversary.
Right when Sting got and Sting was announced
as the inductee. He was the first victim.
Right.
We're into February now. You've had Mike Knox, Luke Gallows, D-Von, Garrett Bischoff, and Wes Briscoe revealed.
Right.
I'm not sold on Ken Anderson as a full-fledged member. I think that takes a little bit of a turn. Although I could be wrong, you know, it may have just been to put guys in. This angle has dragged on, and except for, the Bound for Glory tag match, I don't think Aces and Eights has won anything. They're not winning pay-per-view matches. They're not winning on Impact. You know, why would I fear a group of guys who get beat every week? That's my problem with the angle.
I mean, thuggery is one thing, but you got to get it done in the ring. And you make a lot of sense that having Doc and having Knox as tag team champions makes perfect sense right now.
I
understand why they went with Rude and went with Aries, because they can bring something to the tag team division, but you better start building the tag team division, because besides Bad Influence and Chavo and Hernandez, who else is there?
Right. And, you know, Aces and Eights could have had the belt. They could have maybe played with that old Freebird rule or that demolition rule. You know, that any, you know, two of the four could defend them. you know, but it's just, it's, that's the only thing. And Rude and Aries could have been the end game for the tag division.
Right.
Like, if
right.
you wanted to do something on lockdown, let's say, you know, Aces and Eights beats Chavo and Hernandez, you know, you can put Chavo and Hernandez, Aces and Eights, because bad influence, and Rude and Aries, let's say, at lockdown, or even if you want to drag it out to, like, Slammiversary, whatever. And then, you know, and which would be ironic, because then you could have Hogan going to two guys who he hasn't liked, he hasn't trusted, and saying, I need you guys to go get those tag belts back for us.
Right.
You know, and, like that.
And Bully Ray could get strapped.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, they've got their opportunity to get Knox and Doc over. What better way than to strap them and,
yeah.
and show them as a force to be reckoned with and not just some whipping boys for D-Von and for the
yeah.
loss.
Or, you know, guys who are great at beating up Eric Young and, you know, Kid Cash, but are going to get
Magnus.
Crushed by Sting and Magnus and Kurt Angle.
Right.
You know, although I do like the Bischoff-Briscoe combination. I thought that turn was actually well done together. I was actually worried that Kurt Angle was going to come off looking like the biggest idiot in the world when that turn was finally going to happen.
We knew it was coming, but at least they did it well.
Yeah, they did. And Briscoe's explanation of, you know, look at my last name, and Hulk Hogan told me I had to start at the bottom and
right.
go through gut check, and Kurt Angle was okay with that, you know, like, no, you know, and Bischoff basically saying, like, you people booed me for a year. Why wouldn't I join these guys?
Right.
You know, that stuff made sense, and it worked. They actually were able to pull that turn off very well. I'm waiting to see how they reveal D-Von as, I mean, not D-Von, D-Lo Brown as a member and how he was involved in the whole gut check thing with Briscoe and that. I'm
yeah,
interested to see
do
that.
Do you think that's going to happen now that they turn Taz?
Yeah, that makes no sense, by the way.
It doesn't now. I mean, the Taz thing completely baffled me. I was not expecting Taz. I mean, when you saw him up there standing on the podium and trying to stop the wedding, and you knew it was coming, but I didn't understand where Taz came into this. I mean, it made more sense for D'Lo.
I'll give them credit for this. When I saw Taz up there and he was like, are you sure you're going to do this? I thought for sure that's when Brooke was turning. I thought Taz was going to be like, you need to see this. And they were going to pull something, you know, some video
right.
of Brooke. So
right.
I was still, up until the minute he took his jacket off, I was still like, I never, if you would have told me 3 seconds later Taz was going to be in Aces and Eights, I would have told you you're crazy.
Right.
But here's the thing, though. We've seen this with Taz before. Remember, Taz originally came out and was with the Main Event Mafia, became an announcer, and then was just a regular announcer after like 2 months. He can't do anything physical. He physically cannot. His neck cannot stand it. He cannot. That is 100% fact. So who's getting retribution on Taz eventually? Where is the payoff in this?
Right.
There is none.
Right.
And that's the problem.
So he got an ironclad out on not getting physical. I mean, it just didn't make sense for me.
Yeah.
D'Lo, it makes sense because he can still get physical in the ring. I mean, rumors have been abounding that he has been behind one of the masks on several occasions anyway. But,
yeah.
You know, okay, they've used the big name Taz, but you're right. Where is the payoff? There is none.
Yeah, and at least D.O., he's in a position of power. He's an
right.
agent. You know.
We know who he is.
It works. Yeah, it works. Oh, wow, they were able to manipulate the system,
right.
all that. But, you know, we'll see where it goes. Like I said, Rick, I think next Wednesday we will have a very interesting TNA conversation.
All right.
It's the last of the London shows. So, and on that note, I'm going to end the show here. I think we had a great show tonight, even though Seth wasn't here. Again, thanks to Tara Calloway.
Did
Follow
we have a great show
her.
Because Seth wasn't here?
No, I said despite the fact that he wasn't here. We had a great show because you and I rocked. That's why, you know.
I hope he's not listening.
Oh, man, I'm going to have a conversation tomorrow, aren't I?
Yeah.
FWE will be an interesting show Saturday night.
We both have our pinkies. We've both been future endeavored.
Yeah, good luck to you, kid. Anyway, but, yeah, you know, Rick, thank you very much for stepping in.
Thanks for having
me,
John. I appreciate it.
Thank you to Tara Calloway. You know, she gave out her how to find her on social media, and that Dropkick Depression cause is a great cause.
Yes, it is.
I am John JCD Dimaselli, and I bid you all good night.
I'm a nice man. Yeah, I'm a nice man.